Welcome into All Pro Lodge, the podcast. I'm Kostaki Economopoulos, your host. Thanks for being here. Yeah, let's listen to some more music, shall we? Once again, I'm your host, Kostaki Economopoulos. This is Comedy Football Talk, All Pro Lodge, the podcast. You know it, you love it. You're here, you're listening. Thank you for coming back to us. We very much appreciate it. What can I tell you off the top? We got a lot to talk about. The Jets beat the Bills. What? Tom Brady couldn't get a touchdown until the last 10 seconds. We had some other wacky games. We had a rough tackle a player. We had, well, Brian Miller has some words to say about that. Brian Miller is our guest. He'll be in here soon. We love Brian Miller. What else happened? Mahomes is a wizard. The Packers suck at football. We have a lot to discuss. A couple of plugs here off the top. First of all, big giant thank you to the people of New Mexico. I just got back. I ended up driving. I never get to drive to gigs anymore. And, well, I've done some driving the last few months. It's been fun. I drove up to Oregon. I did a few gigs in sort of Central California that I could drive to. And, this one was, pretty far east. I'm not sure I'd make the same choice again, but I also loved it. I had gigs in New Mexico, and I drove across a lot of California and all of Arizona. And the good thing about that part of the world, it's beautiful. It's ridiculous how nice it is. In New Mexico, like every time you blink, there's another cool landform where you're like, oh, look at that mesa. Look at this sandstone. Look at this red rock. Look at this crazy formation. It's really beautiful. And Arizona's got range, man. When I was driving out the first night, first day, it's like exactly what you imagine Arizona being for a stretch, like big sky with these mountain ranges kind of on the edge. Like it's a, you know, like it's the background to a Western and there's cactus and it's 89 degrees and it's dry. Cut to driving through Flagstaff area. I'm in the mountains. This is not an exaggeration. It was 27 degrees and it was snowing balls. And I was like, was this the same trip? And then, you know, I'm kind of white knuckling it for a little while with trucks around me and driving through the pass and snow. And then, you know, before you know it, sunshine again, beautiful, dry, drop back down to, you know, like 55 and big blue skies and clouds. It was beautiful. Anyway. The gigs were super fun. I'm heartened by people coming out and people really excited to see my show. It was kind of cool. Like people who know me from the radio and were glad to be there. And the Farmington gig makes no sense that it works. Every time I drive to Farmington, I'm like, what has happened to my life? And the show is at the airport. There's a bar at the airport, but it's not in the airport. It's just where you go when you go to the bar in Farmington. Makes no sense. There's no other place on earth I've ever seen like this. And the airport is largely dead now because of, you know, they moved some of the big airlines to the other places kind of near there. The runway is too short for the new FAA regulation. So they couldn't extend it because it's on a mesa. It's can't be extended. Anyway, that's a little more background than you probably need, but the gig makes no sense, and the setup is terrible, and it was amazing. It was such a pleasure. People were so kind, and we had a crazy lady who was, you know, chiming in. And afterwards, a guy came to me and goes, hey, do you want to do something fun tomorrow? And I'm like, He took me rock crawling. It's like four wheels, but like a four-wheeler where you go up through the crazy, like, sandstone of New Mexico, but not like a four, like an astounding achievement of human ingenuity. This thing, like I'm going to post some videos. It was amazing what we did. It was so cool to ride around and have this experience. I've never done anything like that. So big thanks to Alan in New Mexico. And thanks to the cool brewery in Albuquerque we'd never done before. And thanks to my buddies at 94 Rock for supporting that. That was a success too. So anyway, that's a lot of road talk, but I loved it. It's fun. And I got some great gigs coming up. Go check out Kostaki.com. Going to Sioux Falls. Just today, it looks like we're having a little back and forth. It looks like we're going to have to add a show. And that's a pretty big venue, so that's good news. I'm doing Nevada, Iowa the next night after that. I'm off to Waterford, Michigan, like suburban Detroit on the north side. I'm doing Minneapolis, Acme, New Year's week. And coming up the first week of January, I'm doing Terre Haute and Lafayette in Greensburg, Indiana. Shortly after that, I'm doing Mahomet, Illinois, and then back to Shelbyville, Indiana. And I'm working on settling some details on some stuff around Cincinnati in the spring. And I'm in talks to do some cool Tiffin and Bay City, maybe Michigan. I'm still working that out. And I may get a chance to get to West Virginia. I'm booking stuff. That's what I'm saying. Check me out. You're listening. You're probably in a Bob and Tom part of the world. So I'm coming to you. I'll see you out there. Go to the All Pro Line social media pages and chime in. Write some jokes. Enjoy some jokes. Share some jokes. We got a little bit of a viral one this week. One was shared hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. So that's fun when that happens, like a little flair to the world, like, hey, look at us. So thanks for your help in that. And while you're there, buy a t-shirt, you know, support the brand and get a cool shirt. The shirts are super cool. I recommend the vintagey ones. There's a vintage green and there's like a heather red. There's some of the off colors that are a little bit weird sounding. They're excellent. Highly recommend. Cameo. Oh, you got a gift for somebody? You don't know what to get somebody? For like $30, some crazy small number. I don't even know what it is. 35? You can have me like roast your buddy's favorite NFL team for a minute, and then I'll wish him a happy birthday. He's never gotten that gift before. It's fun and different and cool. All right, let's see. We checked the comments here. We got people chiming in. Ron, what's up, buddy? Jerry Oliver, good to see you guys. Jerry said, Stark at 5:30 and wife's out of town. What else am I going to do? We appreciate you joining us. Brian Morningstar. Hey, Ryan Chambers. What's up, buddy? Good to see you. Heather. Heather enjoying the Econo Travelogue. Oh, there's an old-time listener right there. Thanks, Heather. I appreciate you, lady. Kevin Wilson. Thanks for coming, guys. That's very kind. So we got Brian Miller coming up here in a sec. Let's do some jokes, some of which Brian wrote, right? Brian is the... He's my right hand man with the jokes. He's, you know him, you love him. We'll get him out here in a second.
The 2 minute drill.
If you're a Packers fan, this might be a good time to turn the podcast off. It's gonna be a brutal couple of minutes. What is happening to the Packers? Losing to the Lions is the worst thing to happen to Wisconsin since lactose intolerance. The Packers are so bad right now, Brett Favre is embarrassed. He's so sad, he's flying his dick at half staff, everybody. That's a Brian Miller tagline right there. Things are so bad for the Packers, they're bringing in Favre to handle the finances. Ooh, see? Ooh, ooh. That's bad, right? And Kanye to handle public relations. The Packers suck. I'm actually looking forward to seeing how Kanye blames this on the Jews. That'll be fun. There's a joke I probably can't do on the radio. It's gotten so bad, it might be time for Elon Musk to buy the Packers and make them worse. Lions beat the Packers. I knew there were games in England and Germany, but not one in the Twilight Zone. What's happening? Suicide watch in Wisconsin. Confiscate the string cheese. You can't have them with their... When a Packers fan slits his wrist, does he use a cheese knife? Packers are now the second leading cause of death in Wisconsin, just behind cirrhosis of the liver. I've never tried ayahuasca myself, but watching the Packers offense makes me want to puke repeatedly into a bucket. That's way funnier if you have a friend who's told you a lot about how ayahuasca works. The Packers are 3-6. How is Green Bay's record worse than Aaron Rodgers' haircut? That's a fair question, right? Some people are saying this is Aaron Rodgers' worst game. I think that's still his dating game. I think that's his worst game, or his family game, or his science game, or his haircut game. He's got some bad games. That's all I'm saying. The Packers are a Cinderella story, but only the part where it turns midnight and everything goes to shit. See, that's just that part. Go Pack, go chant. Feels a little different now. Now it's more like a suggestion that they leave. The Packers are melting down. Smells like nachos. Aaron Rodgers is struggling so much. Pat McAfee has replaced him as the Tuesday guest with Jordan Love. You see? Oh, Lieutenant Steve. There's a reference. Good morning, Vietnam comedy. Anybody? Anyone recognize? All right. To all the sad Packers fans out there, I would just like to say, keep your chins up. There's always bacon. All right. Now, Bears quarterback, same division here. Justin Fields had a game. My goodness, he ran. I think it was 178 yards. I gotta check that, but it was some crazy big number. There's a man who's trying to escape Chicago. Fields broke Michael Vick's record for most rushing yards by a quarterback in a game. That's if you don't count Vick's yardage running from his past. Congrats to Justin Fields for drawing a comparison to Michael Vick that's not horrifying. It's kind of amazing. Tom Brady didn't score a touchdown until the final 10 seconds. I was wondering if Giselle got custody of the end zone there for a minute. There's some people out there daydreaming about Giselle's end zone. Of course, there was a flag at the end of that game. Brady hasn't retired. He's just playing flag football now, this fucking guy. He's now part owner of a pickleball team. Anybody? Which begs the question, how many years of being the best quarterback of all time does it take for you to buy your own pickleball team? He doesn't have the finances to get a whole... You gotta chip in for a pickleball team? If you had asked me 3 months ago if I thought I could buy a pickleball team, I would have said yes. What is it, $50? Who's fucking watching pickleball? For the love of God. Tom Brady's not even probably allowed to eat pickles. Does he... Oh, if Tom Brady becomes the world's greatest pickleball player and dominates the sport for 10 years, I'm going to never stop vomiting. This fucking guy. Texans running back Damian Pierce got high praise for his career day. In other news, Baker Mayfield went to the mall for their career day. You see, because he's having a bit of a... Actually came in and played pretty well this week. Baker still hangs out in empty football stadiums, like in the ad, but... The current ones are only empty because he might play. You see. All right. In my fantasy league, this is actually true in two leagues. We have the Grits Blitz and the Greek Blitz. All right. Someone was complaining. They always get them mixed up, so I set them straight. The Grits Blitz comes from the south, and the Greek Blitz comes from behind. Ha! All right. Breaking news. Oh, Matt Ryan in search of a third team to pay him not to play football this season. Good luck to you, buddy. Well, the other reason you should come to join the All-Pro Line socials is Mini Helmet Theater. I'm going to try to record it tonight if I can. It's a ridiculous thing. It's where I save all of my silliness that doesn't fit quite with the rest of the segment. And we do a little thing called Mini Helmet Theater. All right, let's check in on the comments. Susan Hal Clark is in here. What's up, lady? Ryan Chambers says, if you're a Packers fan, there's probably a lot of changes you want to make. Goodness gracious. Ron's a big Vikings guy. This must be fucking joy for him. Jerry Oliver, you had Fields in your home league and still lost? How much does the rest of your team suck? Was everyone on bye? I had him on my bench in the All-Pro Lines Listener League, and now I got to sweat out tonight. Everyone's bringing their best game against me in that league lately. Goodness gracious. All right, let's bring in our guests. Let's give him a proper intro before I even let him in here. Let's see. What do we say about Brian Miller? He's one of the best writers in America. I'm lucky enough to call him my writing partner here at All-Pro Lines. Some of the jokes that you heard today and some of them that you hear all over the place are from Brian Miller. He's great. He's one of the great comics from the Minneapolis crowd up there, the Acme guys. Check him out online and follow him on Twitter and do all the things. Here he is, Brian Miller, everybody.
Hey, I look a little grubby, I'm seeing as I look in the mic here. I'm looking a little rough. My wife is gone, you know, so not forever. She's okay. She's not departed or anything. But
I was going to say, it looks the opposite. It looks like she just washed you and combed your hair.
Well, I did comb my hair, but it feels phony. It feels, it feels like if you like put a napkin over a pile of like broken glass and you're like, well, I can't see the broken glass. I'm the broken glass and this is the napkin.
You look like it's a little bit like a ventriloquist dummy. It's a little too perfectly done.
Yeah, I think I might need to take a quick shower and do some maintenance work before I go to my show tonight.
Here's the good news. No one watches this shit. It's most everybody is listening. There's very
Fortunate for them and we for me.
We have a tiny trickle of the hardcores, these good people right here in the comments. Todd Theroff, what's up, buddy? He's sent a few killer jokes over the years. A gigantic percentage of the consuming of this podcast is without the video component. So
I think I work best on audio anyway.
So. Yeah, we both have a face for radio, everybody.
Yeah.
Good to see you, man. I know there's a lot to discuss. Tell me about your life first. What's going on? You've been on the road? Are you hanging out?
I got my car stolen, and then the water main to my house broke, so I had no car and I had no water to my house for 9 days.
You've been through the ringer, man.
Yeah, so it's been exciting. But now my wife's in Ireland, and I'm all alone, and it's not the worst.
You. Safe to say, she's never going to listen to this shit.
God, no. She doesn't listen when I talk to her, but just when I podcast.
Right there live in action.
Here's the thing. Obviously, I would be very sad if she's like, well, I was never coming back. But, you know, she's coming back.
Totally understand.
I've scheduled some fun stuff this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm surprised you're not drunk and out somewhere already.
Oh, I was drunk last night. It was pretty good last night. Yeah. In fact, I had a pretty solid bachelor night. I got pretty liquored up. And I watched all of the Sunday Night Football game, and then I watched the Weird Al movie that just came out.
Oh, how's that?
It's really funny. It's like a Weird Al song parody of a biopic. So nothing in the biopic is particularly true. And it's so if you can kind of imagine, like, if Weird Al'd a script about his life.
Did he write it?
No, I mean, somebody kind of did that, but he's in it. He plays a music executive who hates Weird Al. Which is very fun. It's quite funny because there's a running gag in the movie that everybody is just completely blown away by the concept of changing the words to a song. That is like, how did you do that? You changed the words. It's like he's doing this magical. It's very funny. My wife would have hated it. So you know, overtime football game and 2 hours of Weird Al has real bachelor energy.
I hear you. Yeah, that's right. We've had some. We had overtime Falcons recently, too. It's not this week.
What happened? That Chargers game, I didn't see it, but I was kind of following along with it. How did you guys blow that one?
I actually listened to every down. I was driving across Arizona. First of all, let me complain. On Saturday, I was driving through northern New Mexico from Farmington down to Albuquerque, and I was desperately trying to find the Georgia-Tennessee game. 1-3. I don't know if you know. It was kind of a big game. But I couldn't find it because I was listening to the fucking Lobos play Utah State or some shit.
It was like Ranchero music on 9 stations, and I then swear like
there were like 5.
The Rattlesnake Bowl was on or something.
No, none of them involved anyone in the top 500 team. It was ridiculous. But weirdly, on Sunday, I'm driving across Arizona back to LA, and the one game that was on was Falcons Chargers. And now why?
I guess Chargers? I mean, it's closer than Atlanta, but it still doesn't make any sense.
I feel like it was just random. It was like they just picked one of the game because the Cardinals game was the one that in the later hour.
Right. That was it. Yeah. That was the noon window or the 3:30 window. Early window. Yeah.
And Cowboys were on a bye. I imagine Cowboys might be on a short list.
In Southern California, they used to be farther in Southern California, I guess. It's probably the next closest team. That's pretty weird.
I mean, that whole region is a little Cowboys-esque, like when you ask crowds and stuff.
Interesting.
Anyway, so I got the Falcons. I listened to the whole thing. It was exactly what you think it was. It was just like some bad decisions and some goofiness at the end, and the game just kind of got away from him. Like,
and didn't the DB recover a fumble, but then fumble himself and give it back to the Chargers?
Yes, that was the key. But even separate from that, it was one of those where it was just like spiraling downward at the end. You're like, what? And then when I got home, I actually saw the replay of that. I'm like, ugh.
Because he didn't like, I haven't seen it, but from what I heard, like, he didn't. It's not like somebody punched the ball away from him. He literally was like, I don't know how to carry this thing.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah,
I've seen totally guys talking. Do it near me many times, but I don't know what they're doing. It's always funny to me when guys in football have like almost literally zero talent at some part of the game. Like, I understand, like, you know, it's obviously there's very different jobs. You know, people have different stuff. But like, you can't kick a ball a little bit?
Yeah.
You know? I know. You ever think of the guy where you're like you can't, like, you ever have like the backup kicker, right? The kicker will get hurt. And like, all right, we got this guy as our backup kicker. And he's like clearly the best, the second best guy on the team who's not the kicker. And he comes and he'll kick like 12 yards. You're like, I think I could kind of do that. Like, isn't there something
amazing that
like high school level?
It is amazing that the punter and the place kicker can't at least be pretty good backups for each other.
I mean, part of that's the holding operation, right? Because then the punter is such a the holder expert. So then if you replace the holder, now you have two people doing a thing they can't do. But it's kind of weird to me that the punter can't do a kickoff. Like you can't set the ball in a tee and then run and kick it. That's actually one of the few football things I can do. I can do a kickoff.
I understand that like catching a punt, like a snap must be terrifying to
long snapping is really specific and really hard, right? Like I'm sure you have to really practice as a long snapper.
Yeah, so that part I get. But yeah, if the punter can't be the second best field goal kicker on a football team, what the hell is he doing?
I mean, again, there's the holding does throw that off, but I mean, especially on a good old fashioned we scored and we're kicking off, like the ball's just sitting there on a tee. Just run and kick it.
Yeah, how is it like that sometimes there's like a weird defensive back who's better at that than the punter? That makes no sense.
Yeah, I'm always baffled by that. But one of these guys, like, you know, these defensive guys get the ball and they hold it like it's a live chicken or something. And you're like, dude, you've been on the field with this ball for most of your life. Like, I understand you're not going to be Barry Sanders with the moves or you're not going to be Devontae Adams with the catches. But, like, put two hands on the ball. You got big hands.
Right.
Put them on there. Hang on to it, buddy.
And actually, he has to know intellectually that if falling down is probably the better path to success. But
yeah,
I guess in the moment, it's so exciting. You can't not run with it.
Can you imagine? I always think it's funny when one of those really big guys screws up. Like, can you imagine trying to yell at a 325-pound man? Can you believe you screwed that up? You're screaming at him. And you're like, this guy could murder you. He could murder basically any normal person quite easily. Good.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you got to, like, shout at him. You know, Mike Zimmer's, like, 5'9 worth of beef jerky shout at some guys. That's my Mike Zimmer. Kind of got a little... Sounds like a I was thinking Mike Zimmer sounded like a character from the Beavis and Butthead guy. The King of the Hill guy, you know? I always sound like one of those characters.
Zimmer is hard to believe. The combination of things is hard to believe that that's a person.
Yeah, like the coaching style, the face, the girlfriend, the voice.
I'm going to say the girlfriend. And not just the girlfriend. Like, he had like a pattern of this sort of like weird, like supermodel, somewhat young girlfriends. Like, is there a little slice of supermodel taste that Mike Zimmer is the answer? What? I don't understand.
Maybe he's hilarious. I don't know. Like, because I get the whole data rich guy thing. I get the data rich guy thing. That makes sense to me.
But of course.
But like, when I think of a rich guy that you date, I think of like, I don't know, Sean Connery.
Right.
I'm well dressed. I smell good. I'm very elegant. Like, you're kind of paying to look good, right?
Right. But you drive Zimmer a looks BMW like my dad. And, right.
Zimmer
right.
legitimately looks like my father, who is a regular blue collar guy, you know?
Yeah, if you saw him raking leaves, you wouldn't even notice him.
Oh, right? If he was my neighbor, you would think my house was better than his house if you just watched us both raking leaves.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So he's like, he's not really got the other rich guy. He has the money, but he doesn't really have any of the other stuff that you associate with, like, well, I can see why she would be entranced by the lifestyle. He's like spitting skull into an empty Dr. Pepper bottle.
And he's not like charming at a press conference. He's not well-spoken or handsome or interesting in any way that's obvious to a kind of casual observer.
Yeah, he's got put your panties on, we're going out back kind of kind of energy. He couldn't even inspire Kirk Cousins, who's like the most amenable human being on the planet. He couldn't get along with Kirk. Like, say what you will about Kirk wants to get along. He really wants to get along. Like, I just imagine Kirk like standing outside his office like, maybe he's gonna come out and talk to me soon, you know. I like Kirk, by the way.
How about that clip of him partying on the plane this week?
Oh, I love it. I think it's really interesting. Like, I really wish I could talk more to these guys, because I think it's like Kirk is a really interesting guy in that he realizes exactly what brand of white dork he is. He's really self-aware. Like, he's not, but he is a dork. Like, it's an inescapable dorkiness, but he like kind of owns it and he's kind of cool with it. And I really think it's interesting. His relationship with these like super cool young black guys like Justin Jefferson, like what different vibes there are. They couldn't be more different vibes, but it's seem to get along quite well. Like those guys seem to like him almost like a leader, but also kind of like a mascot, you know? Like,
yeah. Is it? It's funny you bring this up because I thought the same thing when I was watching that video of like, I want to understand the social connection of this situation. Do you just sort of accept that each of you checks a different box in the needs of a team and you're all in the same, have the same goal? And so there's this weird, like, almost like corporate friendliness that comes with it. It's like office politics friendly. How does this work?
I think if I had to guess, I think they kind of, I mean, first off, I think Kirk's good, and I've thought Kirk was good for a while. He's frustrating, but he's good, and I think anybody appreciates having a good quarterback. It just makes everyone's life a lot easier. But I think he probably really is so nice that even when he's dorky, you know, that those guys are like, yeah, but he's good, and like, he's a friendly dude. He's, to them, he's probably like a zoo animal, you know? Because, like, I'm probably like exactly in the middle of the Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson scale. You know, like, I'm a white dork. But, like, I'm not even close to Kirk Cousins, dorky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, right. Like, he drives the dented van, and he's sort of super religious, and he's just real kind of super Squaresville. But I find his squareness sort of charming, and I like that you can tell that he thinks it's, like – and also he's older than them, too, which is part of it. But, like –
by a lot, right.
He's sort of – you can tell that it's kind of like the college professor who knows he's sort of a dork but likes the enthusiasm his students have for his class.
Yeah.
You know? But then with this sort of added – not just a racial dynamic, because it's like Kirk is beyond white. He's like corny. Like, he's white for a white guy. And then you got these guys like, oh, I'm 23. I'm a multimillionaire. I got these cool chains. I'm one of the most physically gifted human beings on the planet.
Right.
And that's my friend.
Yeah. Right. You like that?
I do. I really enjoy Kirk, and I enjoy the dynamic with the players. I think the vibes feel really good on the Vikings right now. And I actually think even if they lost a couple of these games, the vibes would still feel good. They're a good vibe team, even if they're not a great team.
Yeah, they're safe now. They could have a couple bumps in the road and be. I mean,
if they go 500, they make the playoffs, no question from here on out.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody's catching them in this division. It's ridiculous.
Oh, that's the other thing is they're basically guaranteed. I mean, I think there's a world where the Vikings collapse, but I don't think they will, and where the Bears turn it on because the Bears are not as bad as they should, and Fields is looking good. But I don't think the Pack. I think the Bears are much more the risk than the Packers of catching the Vikings.
I think I said this on a prior episode with somebody else. I feel like the Bears are what they did with Justin. The media complained about how the Bears were employing Justin Fields, and the Bears changed how they are employing Justin Fields. They're letting him be him. They're letting him run the ball and put it down and just go bananas and options and. You know,
it's fantastic.
They're not asking him to stand there and throw the ball, which is what they did for the first month, and it was terrible. And now they've completely changed what they're doing with him.
Remember when Harbaugh did that with old Lamar over in Baltimore? It was like right after Lamar had been so incredible that first year, they tried to kind of root him in the pocket more. And I obviously want to build that skill set, but you're like, I don't know. Why let the guy run? Like, maybe when he gets older, he develops into more of a pocket passer out of necessity. That happens to a lot of people, but let him go. I mean, that's why you've got Fields. That's what, you know, I was watching Mahomes run last night, and you're just like, this is so fun.
Yeah. Oh, Mahomes is a wizard. It was such a pleasure to watch. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Speaking of the Vikings though, we got to get back to the Vikings. Cause I got a bone to pick. I don't think enough people are talking about that referee tackle.
I agree with you. Actually, I was looking forward to seeing the whole segment on SportsCenter about it, and it didn't exist. They kind of just like blew by it.
And it really came close to quite literally determining the outcome of the game.
Well, that's what I think happened. It didn't.
Yeah.
The team that it was against won, and so it kind of went away. But if they had lost, it would have been a big story.
Yeah, and Minnesota, I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, the biggest problem was that they punted like 94 times and then between the second and fourth quarter. I mean, it was so their offense needed to be doing more, but that play was so incredibly impactful. And if people haven't seen it, I would say, go look at the GIF, go look at the highlight on YouTube or something. I mean, the ref runs into Bynum. The other two, there's triple coverage on the receiver. Heinicke throws this thing. It's a terrible throw. It's just like a Hail Mary prayer.
Yeah, it's a deep pass, right? Right.
Basically an arm punt, almost. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty bad. And so he flings it all the way down while he's under pressure. And Cam Bynum, the Vikings defender, has such a good line on the ball that the other two defenders actually move back away from it a little bit to, A, let him catch it and almost just play a little like, well, it bounces off Cam's hands. We'll have the guy from behind and maybe we push it away from him or something. But they're like just like Cam's making the play. So they're doing everything right. And this ref just doesn't see Bynum and just, I mean, throws an incredible block. Wouldn't you describe it as an incredible block?
It's funny to watch because he's like he's in panic mode and he's trying to get out of he realizes he's in a bad spot and it's like you were describing the awkward white guy, you know, bagging leaves. He's just like, oh, I gotta get out of here. And he kind of lunges exactly the wrong direction into the player.
And then when he hits him, he like weirdly goes limp and does like a weird like scarecrow thing on the ground, like he like a bag of straw. And you're like, well, it's too late now, buddy. I don't care. But so the ball, and then kind of miraculously, the receiver bobbles and catches the ball. But like, so it's a touchdown. So it was the only touch. Well, they ended up scoring another touchdown later. But to that point, the only touchdown they'd scored, and it should have been a Vikings ball. So it's a full 7-point swing, maybe as much as a 10 or 14 point swing on a game that comes down to a field goal at the end. Man, I wore out the word "God damn it." I was screaming in my house. I was so
mad. How is that not a do-over? I mean, if there's ever a do-over, that should be a do. They just let that be, whatever it is. What's the
rule on this? It's interesting that if the receiver had done that to Bynum, it would have been offensive pass interference.
Of course.
You cannot contact a defender at that level before the ball is there.
Right. Either way, that's definitely a call. Right.
Now, I get that they can't, you don't want to penalize it. Nobody did anything. The ref is considered like the goalpost or like a lump of dirt. He's considered part of the field. Okay.
If you hit him on a punt, you have to kick it over?
Yeah. No, yeah. If you hit the referee on a punt, the punt is considered in play. Like the referee is. So. But it was just like, dude, where were you going on that?
Yeah,
he literally runs into the crowd. I remember thinking the Vikings have bad luck, but if the referee throwing a block is going to be really beyond the pale. Because there was a bad call before that. I would argue that the Vikings, there was an interception that should have been a pass interference. It was borderline okay. But I was like, look, I'm not usually a blame the refs guy, but this was about as clear a blame the refs scenario as you get.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, you guys in the city you live in, you've heard some talk about this. The rule is you just do nothing. Just whatever
the ref is considered, he's considered part of the field. He you know, so like anything that anytime you run into the ref, if they're, you know, you throw the ball and it hits him in the face. I think you put it this way. Okay, here's a good example. Tom Brady's panicking. He's you know, he's under fire. He flings the ball as hard as he can. He doesn't see the ref. The ball hits the ref in the face and bounces up in the air, and the other team intercepts it. That is a good interception because the ref's part of the field and the ball never contacted the ground.
Yeah, okay. I guess
Mike Pereira or one of those rules douches. No, it's Dino Blandino, who I kind of like. He came on and he was like, yeah, technically this is the rule. He's like, it's real unfortunate. You can tell he was like shamed as someone involved in officiating. Like, this is like the nightmare scenario of what you don't want to do. It's like you're the tennis ball boy and you crash into Serena Williams' knee and hurt her knee or something. You're like, well, that's as bad as you can do, that job right there.
All right, here's the next question. Why doesn't this happen more often? This is only like twice a year there's some ref involved in the play.
Yeah. Seems like,
how are they usually so good at avoiding this?
And usually when they do get caught up in it, I've seen it happen a few times. And usually when they do, you can kind of see, it's like, oh man, there was a big pile of guys. He was trying to keep it, you know, the piles moving or there's a big group and he kind of gets caught up in a flock or something. It's like Walking Dead. There's all of a sudden he's surrounded. He's got nowhere to go. I've seen it happen where you're like, dang dude, you're doing your best, you know? But this one, I saw people on Twitter saying like, that was so obvious he did it on purpose. And I was like, no, honestly, if you did it on purpose, you would have to make it look better than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, this was so, this looks so on purpose. There's just no way it was on purpose. Like he did everything but wrap him up. It was unbelievable.
I went back and watched it a couple times because I knew you were going to want to talk about it. And I was also fascinated just for my own. First of all, I was shocked it wasn't a bigger story on sports.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be in like blooper top 10 stuff, but it wasn't considered like a sports story where it's like, no, this almost affected the outcome of a game. And if the Vikings play pretty well, that could have been the difference between home field advantage or not for them for the playoffs.
Well, there was a big chunk of that game where they were losing 17-7. I was listening because the Commanders were my sneaky pick in the confidence pool. I always like pick one like crazy thing to happen. And I thought I was in good shape for most of the game. I was like, oh, the Commanders are going to win this game.
Vikings couldn't get any turnovers early either. And they're a very turnover dependent team. They're very much dependent on turnovers and not committing penalties. And they actually did a reasonable job of that.
Where do you rank Kirk Cousins as current NFL quarterbacks?
Oh, I think Kirk's never going to be in the top five because he just does not have, he just doesn't have the physical talent of the guy of an Allen or a Mahomes. I mean, maybe even Tua. I think I was actually thinking about this. I think part of Kirk's limitations, he's terrible at throwing on the run. Like he almost can't throw on the run. And I'm guessing his throwing motion is much more dependent on the mechanics of his lower body. And so he really needs to be planted. Now, when he's planted, he throws a pretty deep ball, but he doesn't even throw a good intermediate pass on the run. I just don't think he's got a lot of upper body, a lot of arm on him. And so that's an inherent limitation.
All right. So we can easily agree he's not top five.
Yes.
And he's not bottom five. Do we just keep chopping away until we're in the middle?
Oh, he's for sure in the top half. I think there's no question he's in the top half.
But he's at the bottom of that range.
Yeah, I think he's somewhere in the 10 to 12-ish range.
I'll buy that.
I mean, like Geno's playing better than him right now, for instance, but I don't think it's fair to rank Geno over Kirk unless you're saying like maybe right this moment, but like you got to give him a little more time. I think Geno's going to regress, you know, back to earth. But like, honestly, I do not, and this is an unpopular opinion, I don't think Kirk is much worse than Dak or that Dak is much better than Kirk. I think Dak gets too much love because he's the Cowboys quarterback and he seems cool. And
no, I agree.
I think people, obviously now Dak is good, but I think Kirk is like a 7, 8, 9 guy who people want to, for various mental reasons, kind of push back toward 15. But Dak is like a 7, 8, 9, 10 guy that people weirdly want to push toward the top five. And I don't think Dak's there.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you said. They're both not top five and probably top half. Right?
But yeah, people, and when people talk about Dak, they're like, oh, you can win a Super Bowl with Dak. And then when people talk about Kirk, they're like, yeah, but can you win a Super Bowl with them? And it's like, I don't know. I think if they were both the quarterback of a really good team, either one of them could win the Super Bowl on a really good team.
I totally agree. I think basically a top half quarterback can win a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's ultimately the question is like, obviously what you want is a guy who can win you the Super Bowl, Mahomes, Allen. Yeah. There's like 3, 4 of those guys at any point in time.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's not really a surplus. There's fewer now, I think, that you're going like, well, I don't know that Brady and Rodgers, they're not that guy anymore.
No, they certainly are not. Not this year.
And Fields might be developing into one. You know, Lamar's sort of not streaky. He's real good. But you're every now and then he does some boneheaded stuff that make you wonder, maybe not.
Yeah.
But I think the real question, if you're like, can my quarterback win a Super Bowl? And I feel like as a Vikings fan, I can say, absolutely, Kirk could win a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I really think he could. I think he's going to need a really good team and a really good scheme, and you know, we'll see. I don't think it's likely. You know, I'm not putting any money in Vegas down, but that's I think it's very possible.
Yeah. All right. Let's do some kudos.
Sure.
My kudos. No, I'll give a nod to Tua, but my kudos are going to the Jets.
Sure.
The 6-3 Jets, who just beat what seemed to be the only unbeatable team in the league, which I can't believe they beat the Bills.
Yeah.
Every other team seems like fallible, and I just thought the Bills are going to be this unstoppable machine all year.
Not the Eagles? You think the Eagles look fallible despite 8-0?
Yeah. In fact, I'm surprised they're 8-0. They feel fallible to me. They feel like they're going to have an embarrassing hiccup here at some point.
I hope it's against the Vikings in the playoffs, because holy smokes, did they crush the Vikings.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it was that Vikings game was miserable. I mean, it did not look competitive at all.
Now, how come the Vikings have won all of their other ones? Have they just played teams that are significantly less good?
I think the Vikings – well, here's the thing. The Vikings haven't really played a really good team in a good scenario. I think the Dolphins are pretty darn good. And they're playing with Skylar Bulks, who, by the way, was going to – or not Skylar Bulks, that's a comedian. Skylar Thompson, who was going to crush them until he got hurt, and then Teddy wasn't ready, basically. You know, so – they kind of got lucky against that. I think it's, but also now they played Philly in week two when they were still very, very new with the offense and everything. And Kirk was struggling to get the offense going. They didn't have TJ Hockenson, who's I think going to make a big difference. So I think it's going to be real interesting to see how the Bills game with the Vikings goes next week. I think it's going to show. Well, now, otherwise, does Allen play? I think there's a good chance that the Vikings have another stroke of incredible luck and they play the Bills without Josh Allen. Well, now, if you play the Bills without Allen, the Bills, by the way, not one-dimensional. I think the Bills, I don't even know who their backup is, but they could win with a backup.
But yeah, they're definitely good, more beatable. They're a good team top to bottom. That's true.
Absolutely. Their defense is scary.
Big drop off from Josh Allen to whoever that is.
There's a huge drop off from Josh Allen to anybody except for basically Mahomes almost, you know?
Like, yeah, I agree. I think that's exactly
I heard a great stat about them, and it's probably not true anymore, but it was true as of last week. As of last week, the Bills were number one, I think, in like pressure rate or pass rush rate. You know, they'd done the best pressuring of the quarterback, and they were 32nd in blitzing. So they had the best pass rush rate, and they were doing it with their front four. It's like, well, how do you stop that? And that is a sneaky, amazing statistic.
That is. I like that a lot.
You think about the Viking or the, you think about the offense, you know, when you think about the Bills and, but that defense is like, okay, so the Vikings have to compete against that regardless of who's throwing the ball.
Right. Oh, that's great. If you can do that, you could drop seven. That's and the quarterback's in a hurry.
Yeah. I really kind of weirdly hope that Allen plays. I know I should be hoping the other, but I really want to see this Vikings team play a good team with all their guys. If they lose by 10, but it's like a good loss, I'll be like, okay. I want to see that they have a chance in a game against a good team. Otherwise, right, the playoffs is pretty much a fait accompli. I mean, you know, you go like, maybe we get maybe the Falcons in the wild card round, somebody beatable. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, as soon as we play the Eagles or if the Cowboys are looking good, really, you know, toast. So Bills next week, Cowboys after that for the Vikings. I think those are going to be really interesting games. I think if the Vikings get pretty well smoked by the Bills and the Cowboys, you can go, we're a fun wild card team and we're going to be fun in the first round. You know, we'll win the division, but we're going to be a fun first round, probably loss or definite second round loss. Like enjoy your one playoff game while you get it. You're not going to enjoy the second one probably. But even if they just play them tight, and I think people do underrate that they both have gotten weirdly good luck with the injuries, and then like, you know, they beat the Packers, which seemed pretty cool until we turned out they're the super beatable team. You know, and so things have just kind of gone their way. Things have been pretty tight. I need to see the next 2 weeks. It's going to say everything about them. Even if they lose the next two, I think good losses for the next two. If they can go 2-2 in the next four, they're in good shape.
Yeah. All right. Give me a taps.
Taps to Jim Irsay. I'm loving Jim Irsay right now. So he like Jim Irsay, in true Jim Irsay fashion, he's all over the road. So today he fired Frank Reich, who I think is a pretty solid head coach. The Colts are abysmal, so I get why he fired him. But Frank Reich has had five starting quarterbacks in the first game, different starting quarterbacks in the last 5 years. He's not had a quarterback for more than a year. And most of those quarterbacks have been terrible. We had 1 year of Andrew Luck, but he was hurt. And then, you know, you've got names I don't even remember. I was like, I forgot that guy even played for them. Carson Wentz for a year. So it's
the
like
bad Wentz, the tired Rivers, right? Yeah, he had a tough run.
Tired Rivers, bad Wentz. I mean, so the guys just had no real chance. So Ursa just kind of does a panic move. I don't know why I didn't fire Chris Ballard for putting together a god awful team for Frank Reich to try to coach. Boy, if I'm a bad team looking for a new coach, I'm calling Frank Reich today. I'm saying, like, how soon can we get Frank Reich in this building? I think he's one of the best fired coaches of recently. But then, like, Ursay, also, he's the guy who's going to get Dan Snyder to sell the Redskins because he shot his mouth off to a reporter. You know, all the other owners are like, you know, they're mad. I mean, you know what they're really mad about, too, which is not all the sexual harassment stuff. They're mad about him underreporting ticket sales.
He stole money from the NFL.
Money from his colleagues. He's literally like, they're all going to dinner and they're all putting money in for the tip. And he's going back into the restaurant, taking $40 back off the table and putting
that's his right. Wallet. That's exactly right. I mean,
you know, they're mad about it, but the omerta runs so deep in the NFL ownership cabal. It is as rigged. It's basically the American Illuminati.
Help right? me with like, that word. Omerta.
That is the mafia code of silence that says it does not matter what we do to you. We never rat on each other. We never go to the cops. You keep it within the system. All justice has to be within the system. And so these owners have created this thing that protects them from being basically anything short of international jewel thieves and still getting to keep owning these teams. And so, but now the problem is that structure is protecting a guy who's stealing money from their pockets. And they're kind of up a creek. They're kind of screwed. Like, they're like, oh man, we don't want to create a blueprint for taking ourselves out. And Jim Irsay, with his big, dumb, blowhard mouth, just comes out in public and goes, you know what? I think everybody wants to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And he just shoots his, but he tells the truth. I think it was that public statement that probably set balls in motion behind the scenes that have now led to Snyder in looking into selling the team. Now, does he sell? Does he keep a minority stake? I don't know. I don't count Dan Snyder out as a scumbag yet, but I do think that because Snyder basically it threatens everybody else, right? He says, I got a bunch of dirt on you guys. And if anybody tries to get me out, I'm going to burn you to the ground. Well, Ursay has such a horrendous public record of human behavior that he's like, it was like, we've seen all the skeletons in Ursay's closet, you know? Yeah,
right.
So it's like, he's like, whatever. Everybody knows I'm a mess. That guy sucks. And so kind of his Jim Ursay-ness was going to be a huge benefit to whoever picks up Frank Reich. And it will continue to be a huge detriment to the Colts. And yet it might help us get rid of Daniel Snyder. So, I say kudos to Jim Irsay.
Well, you didn't even maniac. Touch on the one part that I thought you were going to give him kudos for, which is kind of a weird move. He hired Jeff Saturday to be the head coach, who is people know is the basically Peyton Manning center for most of his career. He's a great analyst he does a great job on TV, but he's never coached even like fucking high school football.
I know, it's such a bad hire.
It's such a weird decision.
I mean, like, you know he's called Peyton, right? He has to have called Peyton.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, right. Oh, Jeff or he Ursay.
Oh, Ursay. I'm sure Saturday. I'm sure Peyton will be happy to be like, hey, Jeff, here's some tips for you, buddy. I legitimately think Peyton, you know, who just, you know, one of the best football minds, would be happy to give strategic tips to Saturday's old buddy. Yes. I mean, I think those guys are just incredibly tight. Saturday seems like a cool guy, and I'm happy for him. And it would be, honestly, it would be sweet if Saturday turned out to be a fantastic coach. I just don't think so. I mean, it just seems like...
I mean, it's such a bold choice. It could succeed because he's just a force of nature and he's got all this gravitas and, you know, there's an intelligence and a football sort of credibility that comes with him that so overpowers having ever fucking done this before in any way.
If he had a killer OC and a killer DC and the OC's calling the plays, but you go, well, do the Colts have a killer OC and DC? Because they look pretty terrible right now.
Yeah,
and
I don't think,
like, it's funny that, like, if you were to show a giant list of all the Colts' problems and say, what are they? I really think Frank Reich would be at the bottom of the list of things I would point to and say, it's that guy's fault.
Now, does Jeff Saturday have the, is he allowed to go, Matt, Ryan, could you come back over here for a minute? What's the status for that?
Because I think that's a money thing. I think if they play Ryan for many more snaps, there's some sort of guaranteed thing kicks in, he gets money. So I think that's like, but also, you know, Ryan's not playing well. So it's like, if you're going to suck with the cheap guy.
Yeah, but
I don't think Gersay's
not playing well. Not playing well is a certain standard. That's but the other kid is like a giant disaster from every snap of the ball.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Is there anybody? can't even think of anybody floating around. You know, I can't even think of like a couch guy. You know, a semi-recent retiree, an unhappy. You know. I don't know. The Colts are screwed.
You want to get a new quarterback in there? So
I mean, yeah. I mean, it might be cheaper than Matt Ryan.
Well, we already passed the trade deadline. You can't trade for like a pretty good backup.
No, I mean, that's what I mean. You have to sign a guy off his couch, basically.
Yeah, there's nobody really.
I don't think there's anybody. Like Cutler's Phillip been gone Rivers. Too long or whatever. Yeah, I don't see it.
Exhausted.
I think I'm looking Rivers. Forward to the first Jeff Saturday coached game. I'll say that. I think that's going to be interesting.
I mean, I like Jeff. I met him briefly, and I think he's great on TV, and he definitely knows what he's talking about, and he's got some gravitas is a perfect word for Jeff. There's something about him where he's got so much experience, and he's a smart guy that you're like, I fucking believe in this guy. But it is crazy to have a guy do a thing that he's never done at any level.
It would be like electing Herschel Walker to the Senate, you know?
Please.
Okay, Georgia. Here's a compromise. Here's my compromise.
Please, no.
How about we do a compromise? Jeff Saturday becomes the senator from Georgia and Herschel Walker becomes the coach of the Colts. I think that is I don't know anything about Jeff Saturday as a human being, but I feel confident that would be probably a lateral move. Bad for the Colts and good for everybody. I'll take Jeff Saturday in the
it's
old
bad for the Colts, but it'd be much better for the Senate. At least he can speak.
God.
Is a thoughtful human who can speak. How do you, I mean, I want my leader to be a policy wonk and a thoughtful human and a lot of other things. And I think we overemphasize, you know, skills as a speaker, but Jesus Christ, Herschel, what are you doing?
I have many friends in law enforcement. Today he said he will protect the Martians because he has Martians in his family.
What?
He meant Mexicans.
It's hard to believe he's real.
I was talking to my wife about this. He might be one of the stupidest human beings alive. Because think about how stupid he is right now. But then think about how rich he is. Like when you get a certain amount of money, you do get kind of swept up into you're around a different class of people. You kind of get to learn more, you know, you get a lot of benefits of the doubt. Like you know, I understand if you're like some poor farm boy, you know, from Iowa and you get signed to a team and you're 18 and you come to the big city and you're a fucking yokel. Like I get it. Right. But like, once you get to be 40 and rich and you've been that rich, 50 and rich, you've been that long, you should have gotten a little smarter at some point along the line. He's this dumb with all that money and all that help. He really is just truly astonishingly stupid.
How could he think that he would be good at this job? What is he doing? I met him once too. And when I put my hand in his hand and he like my hand disappeared into this giant, you know, and you look into his face and he's so charming. And he was like the face of football to a kid who grew up in Georgia. Like just be that. You could be that for the next 20, 30 years. And that's it. That's all you got to do. Just occasionally speak at a thing and sign the jerseys and shake the hands and just have a good life. Why are you trying to do something that you're terrible at?
I think legacy-wise, the best thing that could happen to him is that he loses. Because I think if he loses, now we're getting into election speculation for football. I think if he loses, though, it becomes a little footnote. And 10 years from now, you're like, man, remember when he was a really bad candidate? But he doesn't actually screw anything up because he lost, right? And the years and years and years of football kind of trump the, no pun intended, 1 year of bad politics involvement. But if he wins, now he's OJ, right? Now it's like, oh, everything you did before, we don't count that anymore. We only count stuff after the moment. Like he's going to be the political equivalent of OJ. Where it's like, no, you're a guy who did that. And asterisk used to play football.
That's true. If he wins, he's going to be weirdly famous in this chapter of his life. He's going to be a walking punchline for the next. It's crazy. What is he doing? Ugh. All right.
I don't know. Hey, I'm not from Georgia. Don't blame me.
My poor mom calls me once in a while and goes, I'm so embarrassed, you know.
I'm sure. I mean, hey, I'm from, I lived in Illinois when they had Rod Blagojevich, who was like basically so crooked that he came with a pre-existing prison number when he was voted into the office.
They
remember
that guy. Oh,
fitting him for
the
suit. Like, I mean, he literally had a he wasn't stupid. He literally had like a really expensive wooden like box. It looked like dueling pistols, you know. And there was a hairbrush in there. And his assistant carried this fancy box, and he would open it and brush his stupid hair and put the brush back in the box.
That's the guy that I think of when you think of like a simple young pretty woman being attracted to a rich guy. That's the type of guy.
Yes, exactly. Kind of a little bit of a dandy, you know.
Yeah,
like is it can afford to look and smell good kind of stuff.
Yeah, he's handsome and he's charming and he's gross, but she doesn't see that part, you know, like, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. All right, we got to do this. We'll do a quick version of this. It'll be fast.
Now it's time for which comes first. Oh, yes, it's time for which comes first. Now tell me, will this happen before that happens? It's time for which comes first.
Now, Glenn told me on the last time he was on here that they were doing takes of this over and over and over again. It was him and Aaron.
I like to say it was Glenn singing to Aaron in Alone in the Room.
And Aaron was finally like, oh, we got it. And Glenn wanted to do more. He just wasn't sure they nailed it yet.
He's like Kubrick or David Fincher. He's like, I want 100 takes.
It makes me laugh so hard.
We shot it once. We're done.
Did I do something with it makes me laugh so hard to envision an earnest, like excitable Glenn, like really committing. And Aaron's like, we got it.
Cause you know, to get that tone, by the way, but to get that tone, you know, he can't just like sit there stone faced and sing it. You know, he had to smile, you know, you kind of got to put your voice acting. You got to get into it to make it come through with your voice. So yeah,
I know. And this is a really good take. And I'm sure it took a while to get to this, you know, and he's like in it now. And Aaron's like, we're good.
Yeah. Which comes first? Glenn gets a good take or Aaron cancels the segment.
Aaron quits the podcast. Yeah,
maybe we know why. It's not over till Glenn sings.
So which comes first, Packers playoff appearance or Falcons playoff appearance?
Falcons.
Really?
Yeah.
They're in second place now. They've already fallen off the perch.
Yeah, I think the Packers – here's the thing. The Falcons bounced off rock bottom. They kind of got to their bottom, and they're starting to hope to claw their way back up a little bit, right? They're pretty low. The Packers are still falling is the problem. Packers have a terrible situation next year, cap situation. They're just screwed. Brian Gutekunst, the Packers GM, you know, he was so unwilling to commit to the Super Bowl window that he was really obsessed with this idea of it's kind of like whatever's the inverse of a competitive rebuild, which is like we're always building for the future, but we never really have to rebuild. And it was, I think it was a fallacy and a fantasy both of thinking that you could do that. I don't think it works that way. And they wouldn't spend any draft capital during that Super Bowl window. And we saw what happened. They lost some close playoff games and never got a title. Well, now they still have all that baggage. All those guys that they paid, all that cap hit. They were always kind of selling the future out, but not willing to acknowledge they were selling the future out. Well, now, I mean, I still think Jordan Love is not going to be good at all. I think it's weird that people think Jordan Love might be good despite everything we've seen from him and it being 5 years in, four going on five. So I think the Packers are almost doomed not only to be bad for the rest of this year, but to be pretty bad next year. I don't think they start getting better until at least 2024. Whereas I think maybe they don't. Maybe they hit a snag. Maybe they signed the wrong guy. Maybe they, you know, we'll see. But I think the Falcons have a better chance of catching that momentum. Also, the Falcons are in a crappier division, and the Packers are going to keep having to play the Vikings and the Bears. I think the Bears, sneaky, could be really good in the next couple of years. Ryan Poles has been just hoarding draft capital, and he just has an obscene amount of draft capital coming up, and they already have the quarterback of the future. So it's not like they don't have to bundle three picks for a first round quarterback. They can just start grabbing weapons and filling holes on that team and then pay Fields a whole kit and caboodle in a couple of years to keep him around while everybody else is on rookie contracts. So I think the Bears have a really good outlook for the next 2 to 3 years. I think as long as Cousins stays healthy, I think next year the Vikings may be looking at drafting a quarterback, but somebody's going to sit behind him for a year or two. I think you got at least another year or two of Kirk left. And I think there's no reason to think that's a bad thing. They got an aging roster. They can fill some gaps. I don't think the Vikings are going to be pushovers next year, barring any stuff. So the Packers have a pretty tough division. Yeah, the Falcons are down there in the South, man. They got some room. I don't think the Panthers are going to be any good anytime soon.
Yeah, if Brady walks away next year, then there's sort of a vacuum there. And if they can solve their quarterback problem, I mean, that's the reason that you would pick Packers in this, which comes first question, because they have a really good quarterback and the Falcons don't. But that might change, you know, so we'll see.
I think Rodgers could demand a trade or retire at the end of this year. I think this year has been so miserable for him already. And I think the misery is only going to keep on coming.
Yeah, I hope you're right. It's kind of fun to watch them.
It's great, isn't it?
It's so fun. I love that both of these guys are just completely, their teams are terrible, him and Brady both. All right, let's do some, I got two quiz time questions for you. Sure.
All right, kids, put your thinking caps on. It's quiz time.
You may have stumbled onto these as I did this week, and if so, we'll just use them as quick jumping off points to chat, but I just thought these were really interesting stats. As of this week, he has the most receiving yards through the first 9 games in the Super Bowl era. 1,100.
Tyreek?
Yes.
Yeah, I did again, because he's on pace. He's on pace for 2,200, right? Because I think they've hit 8 games or maybe
He has more. Over 11. He has 1,100. I have it written here as 11,000. He has 1,104 receiving yards through 9 games. He just broke the record held by Calvin Johnson.
And Tyreek was on the Dolphins last year, right? Am I mistaken?
No, this is the first year.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's making a big difference. But I tell you, it makes me wonder what the hell they were doing down there in Miami. Tua looked so bad for a couple of years. And I've watched several Dolphins games this year. I'm like, this kid's fantastic. I love watching him throw the ball.
Well, he came into the NFL with a serious injury, and I think they've underreported that, and that was clearly a part of his slow development.
Well, last year, you got the crazy owner trying to pay Brian Flores to lose. So, Tua's team was being sabotaged out from underneath him. But even the couple of games that I did see him play, I was like, I don't see it. And then the couple I've seen this year, I'm like, it's not just like, oh, he's better than I thought he was. It's like if you thought he was sub Teddy Bridgewater and he turned out to be almost Josh Allen.
That's
a huge jump
within the window of what we knew it was a big swing. We're like, we're gonna know this year if Tua is for real. Everyone knew that coming in, and there was a lot of talk that he wasn't, that they gave him all the tools so that he could fail and they could clean sweep him out of there. He's hit the ceiling on the range. It's been really cool to watch.
Just a really great thrower of the ball. It's a big, long, accurate throw.
And I wasn't sold on Tyreek being a good match there. I thought he was going to have to share the ball and he was going to get crabby and he was going to be disappointed. But you know what? The other narrative that you can throw out the window is that Mahomes and Tyreek both need each other because they're both number one in yards without the other one.
That's a good point. I mean, and that's the thing, I think sometimes people overstate it where they're like, oh, these guys have this great chemistry. It's like, no. I think maybe it's just that Tyreek Hill is incredibly good at catching the football. And Patrick Mahomes is incredibly good at throwing the football.
Yeah, like, that's it.
If you put Justin Jefferson with Mahomes, you'd be like, well, they've got great chemistry. It's like, no. They're both just fantastic at their jobs.
Right. That's right. All right. That gets us to this question. Who is the only quarterback in NFL history to have a winning record in games when his team is trailing at the beginning of the fourth quarter?
Oh, the only one.
There's only one. And it's a giant drop off. It's like 500 and something percent winning when your team's losing at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Is it Heineke?
And the very next one is like 300 something.
Is it most percentage or most total games?
Percentage.
Heineke. Taylor Heineke.
No, it's Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, that makes sense. Because, Heineke's only played a few games, but he's been I thought that would almost be like a trick question because he's had a lot of comebacks.
Scrappy and fun to watch.
Yeah. He was a Viking. You know what? God bless him. I wish him as well as I can wish anyone who plays for Jim Irsay's team. But I wasn't, like, destroyed when he left the Vikings, you know. I wish him well. There's nothing against the kid. But, I prefer our Nick Mullins backup. But that makes sense with Mahomes because, he isn't, you kind of forget how often he's behind because so often he's also, it's like there was those years where the Chiefs would just never play Mahomes in the fourth quarter because they were always up by 30. But they do tend to fall behind. They tend to have weird lapses in the second and third quarter. But I never watch a Chiefs game and think I never think it's over. Like, you know, some teams is like they're down 21 and you kind of like,
right,
I'm going to go make a sandwich, maybe go do some yard work, keep an eye on them through the window. I'm almost excited when the Chiefs are down by 14 because I'm like, oh, it's a close game.
Yeah, that's what happened this week. They were down significantly.
Oh, that Titans game was really fun. I thought that was really fun game.
You never counted them out. I listened to almost the whole thing.
In fact, I was glad the Titans. I wanted, with my wife being gone, I wanted to like watch the whole game, you know. And I was like, well, if this is just a Chiefs blowout, I'm, you know, that's no fun. So I was delighted that the Titans were winning.
Yeah, yeah, it was scheduled to be a blowout. The spread was 12.5.
That, you know, I'll say this about the Titans: they do not get the respect that they deserve. I mean, they were the number one seed in the AFC last year. People kind of forget about that.
I know, but Malik Willis was their quarterback.
Well,
were very much in the game till
Oh my God. At one point they'd thrown it for like 80 yards with like the third quarter, late in the third quarter. I mean,
The
passing game was beyond abysmal, but their running game is so good.
That game that I happened to see, they completed zero passes to a receiver.
Yes.
In the game.
I wondered if they finished that because I saw that stat in the fourth quarter. They're like, so far, he's completed zero passes to receiver. It's like, woo! That almost happened to somebody else a couple of years ago. I forget who it was, but somebody was just throwing to their running backs all day long. But
zero. But you know, but zero.
Just like a crappy screen pass, you know, or just a little out route, like something that's like really boring. You're like, you didn't just a lateral almost or something, you know, one of those, like, I don't know. It's very strange. But no, Malik Willis looks bad. He looks very, very bad.
He's very green. It's more projects, more projects.
Maybe, you know, I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to worry about it. Put it that way.
I'm looking at the clock. We got to run, man. You got anything you want to plug? Tell the people where to find you and what to do. And
yeah,
at least follow this guy on Twitter. He's a great follow.
I think while Twitter still exists, at Real Brian Miller, spell it with a Y. And then if you are in the Fargo-Moorhead area, which statistically not that many people are, but if you're anywhere in that area, I am headlining the New Year's Eve shows. In fact, I was gonna get I got the offer to feature for you for New Year's, but I'd already booked some headline shows.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, I'm sorry, I won't see you, but
I'll see you before. I'll come hang out with you because I'm only doing Friday, Saturday, so I'll come see you early in the week.
Oh, okay, cool, excellent.
And so I'll be there to hang out. But then I got the big money headline gig. So yeah, headlining one show Friday, two Saturday at the Cellar in Fargo. It's a fantastic comedy club. It's really cool. It will sell out, so if you want to get tickets, get on it now.
Nice. Very nice. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate your support. Check out my schedule at kostocki.com. I'm out there. I'm doing Sioux Falls in Nevada, Iowa here in about a couple weeks. You know what to do. Come join us on the socials. At least watch and share Mini Helmet Theater. It's all the rage. You know, you love it. All right. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon. We picked a catchy song, at least.
How many takes did Glenn have to play to get this?
This is by a pro.